Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. That's what they tell me, and I will believe them. Good evening. This is Elaine. Tonight I have Katavino with me. She's otherwise known as Cat's Angel Eyes. She is a practicing psychic, and I think of her as a healer as well, out of New York. Welcome.
Good evening, Elaine.
Good evening. She actually's in Brooklyn. When I say New York, that kind of makes it sound like she's from all of the islands, when in reality she is from Brooklyn. How are you tonight, Kat? Welcome again.
I'm enjoying the weather. It hasn't hit us yet, so Brooklyn is still very pleasant. We're actually enjoying a nice fall for a change.
Are you in the 70s or the 60s?
I said fall.
Oh, well, see, fall in Central Texas is
50s and 60s.
50s. I think I'm actually jealous. Yeah, jealous of you.
No, when it dips down to the 40s and 20s, I don't hear the jealousy. I don't see any green-eyed monster when I speak to you, and I tell you I'm more bundled up.
No, you don't. Except when you say you're lit in front of the fireplace. Then I'm a little jealous.
Yes, then you're a little jealous. And I say, sorry, got to put another log on.
Yeah, I get real upset then. As you can probably tell, world, Kat and I have known each other for a while, and I have a lot of respect for her journey. And tonight we're going to talk about the business side of the journey that we call our psychic and spiritual development. Because, as most of you know, if you're a practicing psychic and that's all you do, somehow the bills have got to get paid. Joe Nichols, a psychic here in Austin, wrote a book a couple of years back about how to make a living as a psychic. And it had a lot of practical tips and hints and so forth, and it was geared towards the metaphysical community and those folks that are just getting started. But it caused a little bit of an uproar because a lot of people seem to think that as practitioners of the psychic world, the metaphysical world, somehow we're not supposed to charge for our wares. You know, we do give a lot away. Kat, you do tithing of sorts. I call it jokingly tithing to the sci-fair god, although it's not just the sci-fairs, but we both do things for free. I know you do. And
yeah, well, as a matter of fact, I have a radio show twice a month on Blog Talk, and it is an opportunity for my clients and future clients and anyone listening to get a free reading. What was interesting was when I had first started, and Lane was my mentor, and I'm proud to say that. She's the one who pushed me through the door, and as I like to scaringly call it, flip open the flaps on Pandora's box.
You've been having fun ever since.
Well, yeah. But that's an opportunity for us to give back, and you make a good point. When I first started, I actually felt guilty about charging. And the interesting part was that when I go to the grocery store, like most of you, they don't give me the food for free, no matter how much I smile and try and tell them, but I'm a psychic, you have to give it to me for free.
Yeah.
That was a difficult thing, you know, to do. But the guilty part was that I felt like, well, we're doing God's work. And, well, you know, I felt bad about taking money, but the truth of the matter is, we are providing a service. We are, what I jokingly quote Elaine a lot of times, is we're held a lot cheaper than therapy. And in many cases, we can tell you things that a therapist can't. We go a lot deeper. We look deeper. They're working from textbooks, and we're working from your soul, an individual person's soul of what they need individually. That's not to say that a lot of people are experiencing the same issues. But the truth of the matter is, how a person looks at that issue, deals with that issue, and is given guidance from the other side to help solve that issue differs. It really does. And approaches are very important, because when I read, and I'm sure, Elaine, you go through the same thing, when you read for a person, you're communicating with that person's soul. And very often, even though I have a very rough and tumble approach, the idea is that when I'm speaking to that soul, I'm connected with them in a way that's understandable and digestible to them. So that's important to understand, too. But on the financial side, we need to get paid. I mean, like I said, rent, and we want to devote ourselves and make ourselves available. You know, a lot of times you can't put a crisis on hold for 24 hours or 8 hours till we knock off work, our regular jobs, you know, if we had regular jobs.
That's true. Have you had the opportunity yet of working with therapists?
Oof. That's a loaded question. Yeah, I've worked with them. They'll straighten my ass out.
Not as a client.
No, I haven't. But, I mean, that would be a beautiful marriage, you know, the clinical and the spiritual.
It is.
And
it's fun.
I know several successful clinicians that, in fact, have psychic ability, kind of keep it under wraps, but do, in fact, use it in their treatment.
And years ago, if anybody suspected that, they'd lose their license. And that's why I got involved with it a little bit, but only after I met other psychics that were helping therapists of all ranks and from doctor on down. And public, don't worry about it. We never know your name. And many times we don't know that there's a diagnosis. It's just, this is patient A, age so-and-so, here's the core. Help us get to the core of the issue. This is what they're seeing us about. It's a marriage thing. It's a sexual abuse. It's a child abuse. It's whatever, loss of this, that, or that, or a traumatic situation like almost dying in a fire or something. And then you work with that. And sometimes they'll give you a list of questions. Sometimes they'll just say that little bit of something, and you just give your impressions. So don't worry, public. We never, never, ever know your name. That would be breaking all the rules.
And the good news on that front is the fact that therapists are also getting to understand, or at least appreciate, maybe not understand, but appreciate, that a lot of times a phobia, or you know, what is termed an unrealistic fear, isn't in his lifetime. So you can dig all you want. You're not going to find an answer with a mother or a father or a sister or a brother from this lifetime. So there's starting to be a little bit, there's a crack of light, understanding the concept that we have past life connections that are creating havoc in this life. So I would love to see a lot more of that connection being made and helping people, which often comes out when therapists use hypnotic practices. Because in the hypnotic state, some of these past life flashes do come through, and it makes no sense to anyone, of course, to the soul, naturally, but not to the therapist who's looking for something in this time frame.
And they're off maybe 100 years or more.
Or two.
Yeah. You know, sometimes she's right about phobias. Sometimes you have an unexplained phobia about water, when in this lifetime, nothing has ever happened to you. Or fire, or driving in a car, or whatever. I need to give out two phone numbers, because Kat is a practicing psychic, and a very good one. So, world, if you have some questions for Kat, or for me, but mostly for Kat, let's hear two phone numbers. The United States and Canada, this is the number that you share. 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, any place else except the United States and Canada, your number is 877-489-6350. 877-489-6350. Please call in. Give us your opinions. Give us your ideas. Ask your questions. We're looking at the business side of psychic work tonight, but we can talk about almost anything. We have an uninterrupted hour on Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland and my guest tonight, Kat Avino. Kat, how long have you been practicing?
I would say professionally, since I was given my gift, 10 years, approximately 10 years now.
Do you think you were given the gift at that time, or that it just woke up?
Well, I mean, I know now that it woke up, but I mean, even as a child, you'll hear psychics always say this, you know, even as a child or young woman, I was always a little bit more sensitive. I could be near someone and pick up things and have a sensation. It's not like I have now where I actually hear voices and see pictures. Excuse me. Originally, I feel that the gifts that were there openly were empathic. meaning I could literally get sick when someone got sick, if they weren't feeling well, if someone got sad. I also noticed that my speech patterns, my mother used to call me the chameleon. I could actually pick up, if I was with someone long enough, I would actually pick up their mannerisms or pick up their speech patterns. So when you're not really aware of it and in control of it, it does overtake you as an empath. And then was always a question of sensing that I wasn't alone. I could sense my guides. I could sense people who had passed over. As a five-year-old, my mom had reminded me of something that I had forgotten, where when after my grandmother died, I saw her eyes because she had these piercing eyes. And for several days, you know, these eyes followed me around, which was kind of spooky for a little kid. But I knew it was my grandmother, but it did scare me, and she had to comfort me. So these abilities, I think, were always lying under the surface. And I know, you know, you had told me many years ago, much longer than the 10 years, that the gift was there. And I knew intuitively it would change my life drastically, and I had to be ready for it. And then Spirit stepped in, and it was a surgery that snapped the door open. So, you know, we don't always get to pick and choose our time as much as we try.
Well, that's true. Have you taken any classes? I know you read the tarot cards, not that you need them, but have you taken any classes? Or are you pretty much self-taught? You meditate, I know that.
Yeah, it's self-taught. Even the degree of meditation is really just sitting quietly. You know, I have New York guides, you know, and I live in Brooklyn, so it's kind of hard. I give people a lot of credit who can really tune everything out. I'm also a Sag, which is also hard for a Sagittarian to turn off their mind. But to me, it's just a state of relaxation. And I'm fortunate. You know, when those doors did get opened, it was big. It was big because I don't think about it. It's just there. You know, I hear about stories, people have to put themselves in a quiet space, light candles. I have read in a grocery store, I've read driving, I've read, you know, walking around, reading a book, watching TV. It's so become a part of who I am. I don't have to summon it. I really don't have to waken it. I mean, I remember in the beginning joking with you going, but if I put it, you know, if I be quiet for a while, it'll go away, Elaine, it won't come back. And you just say, don't worry, it's not going anywhere. She was right.
No,
so it's just become part of you. You know, I don't think about it. You know, if I have to, I could be doing 17 things, phone will ring, I do the reading, and it's there. My guides are ready and willing all the time. So I guess I'm blessed in that respect.
I told you something not long ago. I said, now that you're here, the universe is not going to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that for just about every practicing psychic I've ever known, until they start to misuse it, take advantage of it, take advantage of people, mistreat it, use it as a way of lying to people, then for some reason, and a good reason, the universe just kind of shuts you down. Never again will you have any sensation about helping people at all. Once it becomes an ego-driven thing, you're done with it. There have been some very famous psychics in the past that wrote the books, did the TV shows, and then just disappeared because they abused it. It was gone.
Well, you have to stay humble in the respect that I never take credit for my readings. What I take credit for is paying attention. You know, we're messengers, period. It's not me doing a reading. I mean, we're used to saying it that way, but in actuality, all we are is a conduit. We are connecting with the other side and giving information to this side. And one of the biggest abilities or strongest abilities that have come through in the last, I would say, 5 years is my mediumship work. A lot of dead people hanging around, you know, and they want to be heard.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere, you know, and they want to be heard, and they want to comfort the living, and the living wants to be comforted. So there was nothing special I did with that. I mean, it was just a fluke because I was reading, I read on a network line, and a client had called and said, you know, Kat, it doesn't say you do this, but you know, do you contact the crossed over? And I said, well, I haven't done it. No one's asked me before. Let me give it a shot. And sure enough, I made the mistake of doing it in my bedroom, which I'll never do again. And I wound up with about 6 spirits sitting on my bed all night long. I couldn't get rid of them. So it's very open. It's very ready, you know, to be tapped into. So it's, you know, it's the gift. You know, people say, well, I do this or I do that, I do that. I don't think that's totally true. I think once you've opened that door, and I use it as a doorway because it is, it's a portal, everything you need to access is there for you. I guess it just takes some kind of inner belief or need to tap into it. And I'm getting more and more people asking me to do mediumship work for them. And I have to be honest, it's one of the greatest satisfactions I receive is seeing the change in them right after the reading. It's just unbelievable. Their face, their energy, their skin, everything just seems to calm and be at peace. And that's really why we do this work. At least that's why I do it. I know you do it, Elaine, is to help people be at peace.
Yeah. Bring some solace to whatever they're looking for. Getting back on the business end of this, once you've established the fact that what you do is real and that you're able to help people and somehow there's a clientele, and when you're first getting started, well, I've known a few people that first got started and they had their cards made. In fact, I encourage people now immediately once they realize what they want to do to have cards made. In the old days, it was strictly word of mouth because we were very closeted. It was not a safe thing to do to stand up and say, I'm a psychic. People would laugh at you, run you out of the church, and tar and feather you, even back in the 70s when it was the love child energy. But it is important to treat this as a business, which means in today's world, a website, doing as many radio, television, writing books, handing out business cards as you possibly can. And not all of our practitioners do the radio, television, handout, everything but handout cards. All they do is handout cards. And they're good enough that for years the public will find them. But
well, I've always believed that when a person, the right person, because, you know, just like a therapist or a priest or anyone you come to for solace, there's a connection. And I believe that the style has a lot to do with it, and I'm always so happy when the right person comes to me. And I mean by the right person is a person who's ready. I will never be accused of candy coating a reading, ever. Don't have compassion, but my belief system in terms of truth is very strong in healing. And part of healing is getting to the truth. Because as long as you're walking around with denial, you're causing your body and your soul harm. So I'm very straight shooter with my readings. If I tell you he's not going to call, he's not going to call. And if I say to you, yeah, he's going to call, but it's not going to do any good, you know, a lot of readers will just say, oh, he's going to call, and leave it at that, not to be perceived as confrontational. I have no issue with being confrontational because what I'm confronting is the soul, the heart, and the mind being in sync, and that's a pretty rough battle. So you as a reader, I believe, even as a business person, you're required to present a satisfactory product and an honest one. Your clients trust you. You need to tell them the truth. If you went to the doctor, you wouldn't want the doctor to lie and say, oh, no, you really don't have cancer. Don't worry about it. You want the truth. So I find that the clients brought to me want the truth, and they want to get past into that healing and that place of goodwill. And going back to the business part, I mean, I don't have a problem promoting myself to the degree of how to do it. Sometimes I'm a little leery, like you mentioned. I mean, even in today's world, and I live in Brooklyn, a pretty liberal, open-minded place. New York is very open-minded, at least the city is. And one of her girlfriends is not allowed to come here because I'm a psychic. And that breaks my heart because that is another generation that's confused about what we do and why we do it. Now, I just had 1,000 cards printed. because I already used up my 500th, I don't have a problem handing my cards out and letting people know what I do now. This is what I do. This is what I'm dedicated to doing. And unless you tell them, they're not the psychic. They can't read your mind. You can read theirs, but they can't read yours. So you have to get yourself out there.
You just said that New York is liberal. Have you found, and remember, I'm in Texas, which has a different energy, and you lived in Austin for a while.
Yes, I did.
No, public, we didn't know each other at the time, but it's a whole different energy. I can't say that it's softer, because, but it's just different. And New York is a faster-paced, go, 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 walk almost everywhere. It just has a reputation of being a little different than what it is here. And do you find it tough to do your work in New York in a business sense? What are you doing
to promote
your work? Because there are a lot of psychics in New York. There's tons of them.
There are tons of psychics in New York. What I've done is reach out to friends and people who I'm familiar with. And right now what I do is one night a month, I go to a pub here in Brooklyn, and I have a following now, and they know I'm coming. There's a poster up that announces I will be there the second Wednesday of every month, and the bar is called Silhouettes. It's here in Brooklyn, and I read there, and people come to me. I also, through word of mouth, set up parties. I'm in the process of forming a partnership with someone here to do not only psychic parties and psychic work, but catering, make it a package deal. So there's lots of ways you can do this, and also to build yourself up enough where you can start and feel comfortable enough where you can set up for classes to help other people, where your clients are really needing more than just a reading. You can form groups and charge, as you would any workshop, and work on their spiritual development with them and their psychic ability. So there's lots of different ways, you know, of doing this. I mean, the tried and true in New York, you could go ahead and put an ad in the paper, you know, and work with these little fairs and promoters. So there's ways to get yourself out there. I came from the business world. I spent over 30 years in construction and design, the design industry. So me working as, you know, a businesswoman, it's not a problem. It's a matter of how do you promote yourself in a more delicate way. You know, it's not as rough and tumble as from where I came from, but you still have to sell your wares, so to speak. So radio, I have the two radios. Now I'm going to be on Blog Talk two nights out of the month. I'm looking for other establishments in order to read at on a regular basis so clients know where I'm going to be. I go with party promoters and work with them in groups. I'll come to a party and people will come to me during the course of the party and have readings. So there's lots of ways in which to reach out to the public. I mean, in New York, especially in Brooklyn, there's storefronts all over the place. They literally have storefronts which says psychic, come in and have a reading.
Oh, I know.
So
It's almost as bad as it is in Vegas.
It is a lot more open. Excuse me?
It's almost as bad as it is in Vegas.
Well, it shows it's more open here. And I have to be honest, Elaine, I know that I haven't lived in Texas, you know, in a very long time, but the bottom line really is there's still a lot of, I find New York more open, mainly because we have more people, so the population, you know, a greater percentage of the population that's open give you greater numbers. But overall, except for rare occasions, you don't have a heavy Christian Bible-thumping ethic here. I mean, even the Catholics are open to the possibility that this is something that's not, you know, making me a heretic or I'm going to burn in hell.
Texas, where I live in Austin, we're part of the Bible Belt, what's called the Bible Belt. But in the last 20 years, it's really loosened up. Not as loose as it needs to be, but
well, that was my
not
point.
Anywhere near like it was when I first started.
Right. So, I mean, you're still talking about, you know, when you compare the two cities, you're talking about an urban city, and so multicultural. especially in Brooklyn, we have a terrific number, a great number of island people. And the island people are very open, I mean, even more so than myself, in terms of mysticism. So they're very open for readings. For them, it's of course, my grandmother, whose grandmother, auntie, you know, you hear about it all the time. The island people always contacted spirits. They were brought up with it. So we have a lot of populations here, full populations, that totally accept it. What the only difficulty you might have is the cultural barrier of, you know, quote-unquote, a white psychic, you know, coming into an island or black cultured system and being brought in there. But what's nice about the fact is we're all in Brooklyn. So there is a camaraderie there, and it's not as bad as some other place where they might feel a little more threatened. So you can advertise anywhere. You know, you can put your, I made posters. I've had posters and, you know, some of the friends I have who own establishments put my poster up. So, you know, it's not easy. It's like starting any new business, you know, and I'm only at this now full time, truly full time, I would say, in the past year, where I've really made a decision that I'm not going to go back to construction. So I keep, you know, I tell God every night, bring them on. I'm willing to do this work for you full time. Just bring them in.
Bring
you know,
them on.
Get the buses.
Keep the board going.
Yes, keep the buses going.
Those phone numbers worldwide, call in and visit with us. Ask us questions. Talk to us. 877-489-6350. That's worldwide. United States and Canada. 1-888-228-4494. This is Elaine Ireland. You're going global for spirit, and my guest tonight is Katavino, practicing psychic out of Brooklyn, New York. And just in case you're just joining us, we're talking about the business side of the metaphysical world. And truthfully, when I first started, it was hard for people to accept this as a valid way of making a living. It was something that you did for fun.
Right. It was to be considered a profession.
Right.
Something, you know, a career. It's, you know, I hold, you know, 2 degrees. You know, one in architecture and a partial in education and certificates in construction management. You know, there are some things, too, in the psychic community that you can do, and I've got my eye on, which is going and getting certified. There is a National Association of Psychics, and they will test you, and then they basically certify you that your skills are and your abilities at a certain acceptable level. So that also helps. I mean, if you can gather credentials. I mean, in New York we have the Edgar Cayce Center, which also helps to somehow legitimize or at least have some unified standing in terms of a person's abilities. We also have, you know, we also have a big burden that we have to overcome as psychics and mediums is, unfortunately, this is a business that is plagued with fraud, is plagued with people who are charging exorbitant sums and preying on people that are very downtrodden and very in a weakened state, emotionally damaged. So that is something, too, that we're constantly battling. And, you know, it's nothing. I happen to be an ordained, you know, reverend, as you are, Elaine. And that is how we are able to get away from having to minimize or, you know, just negate our true abilities by being forced to say for entertainment purposes, I am not a dog and pony act. I am a human being that is blessed to be tied into a higher being of information and beings and spirits. So, you know, there's other things we have to overcome. And the law, you know, is very strict in New York. I don't know what the rules are in Texas, but here in New York, they're pretty strict. You have to be either a reverend, you have to be a clergy of some sort.
You don't have to be in Texas. It's safer to be in some city. In Corpus Christi, in the Midland, Odessa area, El Paso area, it's better. Austin, in the Austin area, in Austin proper, on the books, there's a city ordinance still on the books. about fortune telling, which is different, of course, than psychic ability. But
they lump it all together.
Right. They still lump it together. So there's, and thanks to Ms. Hipple, God love her, who was one of the few women in Austin, Texas, way back when. We all stand on her shoulders. She was even arrested for fortune telling. This is a registered nurse who did this out of her home for fun. And she was arrested. And after she was arrested and spent 4 days in jail, she decided that if she was going to have to go back to jail, she better start charging for it so she could pay her bail. And she did it kind of tongue-in-cheek. And then she had more business than she knew what to do with. But still, till today, if the authorities wanted to walk into a psychic fair or bust my door down, they could do it legally. Now, I'm a reverend. So most people in this field, that's why they become a reverend. In Oklahoma, you can't do a psychic fair without being registered as a reverend. So it depends on the city and the state that you're in. But
right, and you should be aware of your local laws, because you don't want to be in a situation where you're breaking the law because you're trying to help someone heal.
Right.
And New York, like I said, and the third thing is to put that nasty, just grates on me, to put that nasty little sign for entertainment purposes.
Right.
So, no, you have to know what the rules and regulations are if you choose to go into this profession, provided you have the gift. And I would like to also warn somebody, and this is not to prevent somebody from coming into the profession, but I want to warn you that this is not for entertainment purposes only. You know, you start playing around with Ouija boards, you start playing around with spells, you start doing serious candle work, you're going to open up doors that you may not be prepared to handle. And that is why it's important. I mean, I was blessed to have Elaine to show me the ropes in the beginning, and then other people in books that I read to protect myself, because things will attach to you, and I'm not doing this to scare anybody, just to make them aware of the power of the kind of work we do, the power that it can unleash. So you need to be respected, you know, respectable, and you need to respect what this field is capable of. And that's, I just want to make a big point of that.
It's important. And
very important.
Very important. So protecting yourself, it's interesting that you were talking about protection. We have to protect ourselves from the living and the breathing, as well as the authorities as such, as well as the spirit from the other side who may be trying to interfere in some way. And they do in some senses. We have spirits that will play with us every now and then. But for the most part, spirit that works with most of us is there also to help the person that we're trying to.
Guys, you know, what Elaine and I are mainly speaking about when we speak to the other side, we speak to benevolent guides. These are guides that have chosen to be our information source. They're the ones that are connecting to the greater good and giving us the information for that specific person. When a reader really is gifted and knows what they're doing and is tapped in and being straight, the information can never harm you. One thing I also learned seriously from the beginning was do not interpret what you hear. It does not matter if it makes absolutely no sense to you. The information is not for you. The information is for the person you're giving it to. I mean, I was doing a reading one time in a mediumship platform, and the husband had passed over. The wife was distraught, and, you know, I had finally calmed her down. And then all of a sudden, this big toothbrush is being waved in front of me. Big toothbrush, big toothbrush, big toothbrush. So finally I said to myself, I learned not to question it. I said to the wife, look, this is going to sound nuts, but he's waving a toothbrush in front of me. Well, unleashed another barrage of tears, because it was validation that it was truly her husband, because it turned out that she was a dental hygienist. So he was showing me that this is the thing that can make her know that it's me, I'm waving a toothbrush at you. And they come up with the wildest things. They'll come up with the wildest things to validate. It's not like the obvious, like, you know, you watch television, they say, oh, here's something only you two know about. Remember the cabin in the woods? No, it's never stuff like that. It's bizarre stuff. Another reading I was doing, they're showing me forks and spoons. And I'm going, what is it with these forks and spoons? He keeps showing me forks. What's with the forks? So the woman starts crying, and she goes, oh, it's him, it's him. And it took a little bit, because at first she's going, what about the forks? So luckily it was a mother and daughter sitting there, and she says, wait, Mommy, remember? You had to throw out all the forks. You kept saying the forks were missing. What had happened was the forks were not a very good quality, and they were all bent and twisted, and apparently he was a very meticulous man. So when he saw all these forks that were all out of whack, he took them away. She lost all, like, 15 forks and had to replace all these forks and didn't know where they went. So it is very entertaining in that regard sometimes.
The oddest one
the
for
stuff
me
that
was
comes
this,
through.
The oddest one for me was this long tongue. You know the guy from Kiss, Gene?
Yeah, Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons. I kept getting just this long tongue. And, you know, it wiggled and it waggled just like he does when he's entertaining. And I looked at this guy and I said, I don't usually get images like this. I don't mm-hmm. call myself somebody who connects with the other side, but what is with the long, wiggy tongue? And this was at a size fair. And he absolutely cracked up. This was a man probably 65, between 65 and 70. Big, burly man. And he just cracks up. And he said, I do not believe it. I don't believe it. And he turned around and he hollered to his wife, and she came over and he says, long, waggy tongue. She starts laughing. I said, will somebody let me in on the joke here? My son was a big Kiss fan.
See?
And his son had been dead less than a year. He was killed in a motorcycle wreck. He even had a
yes.
Kiss. What are the
logo? And that's what they will do. They will pick very obscure things that usually takes the people a little bit of a time. Because I was doing a reading and I saw this. I told the wife, it was her daughter who had passed, and she says, your daughter is showing me this shawl. It's a blanket or a shawl with red roses on it and fringe. And the woman is just looking at me. And I'm always happy to have a daughter or a relative with them. And I'm going, and she goes, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So the daughter, she yells out to the daughter, you know, come help us. His daughter comes in. She goes, Ma, she goes, that is the shawl that she gave you. And, you know, that daddy gave you, was probably the father gave you, that she used to love to see you in.
I think we have a call, Kat. Hang on.
Okay.
Do we have a caller?
Yes.
Hi, who is this?
My name is Joan, and I'm enjoying your conversation tonight with the psychic from Brooklyn.
Thank you. Where are you from?
Pardon me?
Where are you from?
Las Vegas.
I was just talking about Vegas a minute ago.
I know, I heard. Very, very interesting.
Do you have a comment or a question? Or
yes. About a year or two ago, I went to a fellow here in town that's a psychic, and he told me that I was going to come out on my own with my psychic ability. And I've been into the metaphysical world for quite some time, but I've never really come out and done a lot of readings or anything. And I'm just wondering if this lady foresees me doing that in the future and if I would be successful at it if I attempted to do it.
Go for it, Kat.
Well, my guides are telling me a yes, hon, because inherently we all have the ability. What I am seeing with you is a block, and I'm going to be honest with you. The block I see is fear of acceptance. You know, you have opened your mind quite wide to the possibilities. But what I am getting from you is a holdout in terms of what your friends and family might think.
Right.
You know, it's a tough, gotcha. You know, it's probably the only thing that's standing in your way for your
door. That's the only thing. Because I've had the ability as a little girl all the way up till now, and as far as mediumship, I can pick things up from the other side quite well. I've taken channeling classes, studied on a psychic development
Right, but honey, what you've done is you're walking the walk but not talking the talk.
Exactly, and I want to get through that.
Well, it's real simple. Just put a little bit of New York in you and say you don't give a damn.
I guess I'm going to have to start doing that, huh? Especially
yeah.
now.
Hey, it works for me.
You do that. I love it. I knew you'd give me the right answer. You know, I just thought, should I go through with this or not? Because this guy told me I should, but.
Sweetheart, that's a decision. That's a personal decision. But I'm telling you what the only thing that's stopping you. And really, the silly part of this is, I have, to give you some confidence, I have a friend who I love dearly here in New York, and we nicknamed her Sister Fran. She's not a nun, but she might as well be. You know, I mean, she is just as Catholic as they come. She's like a staunch supporter, goes out with pamphlets of the Conservative Party. And she loves me, as is. So when someone truly cares about you, they will go beyond even their own beliefs to accept you. And the people that don't, well, maybe they're not supposed to be there anyway. You ever think of that?
That's really true. I've just always been a little bit different that way anyway. I shouldn't even care. So what is my first thing I should do? Do I need to get tested for psychic abilities so I'm legitimate?
You don't have to. I mean, you know, I've only been formally tested twice in 10 years. It's not a requirement, but if it helps your confidence, I would go for it. Honestly, it's really all it takes is self-confidence, sweetheart.
You know what? Why don't you call one of us, Kat, because we'll give out her information later, and we'll give
Beautiful.
Out mine.
Yeah, I have no problem. My information's on my website. The phone I use all the time for this work, and I'm always available on it. Is 516?
596?
No, 516?
516?
225?
235?
No, hon. 225.
Okay.
8054.
So that's 516-225-8054.
Right, and those of you in New York who are questioning what the hell I'm doing with the 516 area code living in Brooklyn, it was my father's phone.
What is your first name again? Because I kind of got in the middle of your...
Kat. K-A-T. K-A-T. Kat.
K-A-T. Kat?
Yeah, it's short for Kathleen.
All righty.
And my number is area code 512...
Uh-huh.
922...
Uh-huh.
4723. Now, what I'm suggesting is that you call one or both of us and let us ask you questions and you practice with us.
I think it's a very good idea.
And Kat can give you her theories on what direction, and I'll try to stay out of the middle of it. But
I really appreciate this.
Sure. You know, sometimes... I suggested to Kat years ago, learn how to read the tarot cards. Sometimes if you learn, and it doesn't have to be tarot cards if they scare the wit out of you. If something interests you, astrology, numerology, crystal ball reading, I don't care, if any of the tools interest you, learn about them. And that will give you a little bit of confidence. But as you get better and better and better, you don't need them. Kat uses the cards now, but she doesn't need those cards. It's more...
The only time, honestly... The only time, I mean, I lug them along with me, and it's not how I read. You know, when I was laid up after my surgery, Elaine had sent me, you know, she said, okay, now I have a captive audience, because I was stuck in bed for 3 months, you know, for my back surgery. And I had gotten the tarot cards, and I played with them, and I got to learn them. But I never felt connected with them, because it's not how I read. I read energy. So... What you will do is you'll start with some tool. I don't care what it is. Like she said, it could be a pendulum, could be runes, could be anything. Experiment.
I do all that. I work with cards, pendulum, everything.
Right, but honey, what you have to realize, please, is that these are tools.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you have to see which tool you feel comfortable with. And then you stick to one of them. This is my advice, and Elaine can, you know, if she disagrees, fine. But from my experience and in the people I'm teaching, stick to one that you're most comfortable with. and then discover what you're really hearing and seeing. Because you will then get in touch with how you read, because everybody reads differently.
That's really true.
You know, how you connect.
Yeah, you already read. You already do the readings. What's holding you back is stepping out in the front with enough of your personal power to not care what other people think.
If you got to come out of the closet, honey.
Yeah.
That's what this man told me. He told me that a year ago. He said, you need to come out of the closet. And he said,
yeah,
you've got to come out of the closet. Maybe
you
have a reason.
Yeah, so there is. You know, and it's funny how when I read, you know, I have a tendency to, like I said, the chameleon thing, where they'll say, but that's exactly what they said. Because the bottom line here is the truth is the truth. It doesn't matter who you hear it from. It never changes. You know, one and one is two. That don't change. So whatever the basis is for what's holding you back will always come at you over and over and over again because the truth doesn't change.
Yes, it will. You know, you've heard it from at least three people now, so it's time for you to do something about it.
It is time. Time has come.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just popped in on the program because I love Elaine. She has some good people on her show. I listen to her almost every week.
Thank you.
I'm very dedicated here.
Were you with me last week?
I don't think I called you last week, but I've called you before.
Halloween night was so strange, and I was having, as usual, and I was having trouble with my phones, and I think I got cut off about 15 minutes early, off from the show. It was
right.
A real odd night, so anyway.
I'm glad I connected this time. Mercury's gone direct. Maybe that's part of it.
Yes, Mercury's gone direct, thank goodness, for the rest of the year, I think.
It was retrograde for a while.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I wish Mercury would just spin out of the orbit of the solar system. I am a victim child. I'm the poster child of Mercury retrograde.
That's not even funny.
No, it's not.
The Mercury retrogrades this year have been really, really tough. Really tough on people. Harder than I've talked to people for years.
Well, I think it also has to do with the date. You're in a 1 year. When you have a 1 year, that's all new beginnings. And in order to have new beginnings like this, you have to kick out the old crap.
That's true.
And people don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
It's particularly brutal. Like on you, my dear, to make big changes. And I'm going through that, too. You know, it's a little scary. As confident and sure and at peace with all this I am, it's still a little, you know, I'm used to building buildings. I can do that with my eyes closed. And, you know, this is a big step. So I think this year was a lot of major changes in people's lives.
What's interesting about Kat is, like she just said, she's used to living literally in a man's world. And concrete and nails and tough attitudes.
Nuts and bolts.
You know, nuts and bolts, all that stuff. And now she's totally flipped to the feminine side of her being, totally and completely away from that. She could still do some of that stuff, does some consulting on the side, but this has become her world, which is totally different. So that's a toughie. And for you, Joan, you're going to be stepping out into a whole new world of people, types of people that you never thought you would associate with.
That's a good thing.
Well, it's not that you're leaving behind everybody. It's that you're adding
to. Well, she may. You also have to prepare a person for that, too.
Yeah.
And I warn people, you know, foretold is, you know, forewarned. Yes, honey, there are going to be people that are not going to be able to follow you. They're not going to be able to stay with you. And that's okay. You know, this is, and we have a tendency to get stuck in the guilt pattern of betrayal or thinking we're better. That's not the case. Every human being has the same opportunity to grow. Those who grow with us, stay with us. Those who do not, you wish them well. So, I mean,
You may miss
them. Boy, am I glad I called.
They may miss you and you may miss them, but sometimes people are just supposed to be with us a small time in our life. And that includes the people in your family. That includes people that you loved for years and years. Everything has its time.
And you have to make room.
Yeah.
You have to make room for what's going to come to you.
Endings are coming and beginnings are starting. I think this whole economy has created a lot of this going on for a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
Not just for me, but...
No, for everyone. I mean, the whole country is facing their demons. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, where, in a way, you know, like I said, me being prevented, in a way, from going back is kind of forcing me to go forward. I am just as comfortable, believe it or not, which surprised me most of all, I'm just as comfortable doing this work as I was directing 400, 500 guys to build a skyscraper. Because it's still creating. You're still creating something. You know, in this particular case, it's a more divine calling, if you will. But it's no less divine than building something beautiful for people to live in or work in. So when you really break it down to what we're really doing, we're not doing anything differently than anyone else's. We're creating. We're creating something better than was before.
Well, you're making a difference, you know. You can do something everybody goes along with, but lots of times that's not where your heart is, and that's not where your true gift is. And
no,
that's a sin right there if you're not doing it.
Right. 90% of the people I read for, they say they're unhappy, and I ask them, do you know why you're unhappy? Oh, no. And I said, very simply, you're not doing what you enjoy. But I can't. The but. B-U-T is one of the tiniest words and the biggest effect.
Oh, that one in if. If only.
If only. So it's like, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, they told me I couldn't be what I wanted to be. That didn't stop me. And I put 30 good years in, and I know I don't regret a minute of it. I fulfilled my dream. You know, I consider myself a blessed individual to know exactly what they wanted when they were 12 years old and be able to do it even though I was a woman. So the point is that I am very hard and determined to help people get out of their I can't, but what if? What if what? What if you get hit by a bus tomorrow? Guess what? You're dead. So you can't live your life based on tomorrow. You have to do it today. You start today to make your decisions and your actions to be put into place tomorrow.
If you have this ability to your knowledge, and you do, and you've already practiced some of the tools, which you have, then the bottom line is you have a responsibility to share it, or it wouldn't have been given it to you to begin with.
In the first place.
Yeah, and then you have to take on the responsibility of the ethics of helping someone grow or giving them that reading and being kind and just and diplomatic about how you deliver it. They will hear it the way they're supposed to hear it. You could whisper it, but if they're supposed to hear it as a shout, that's what they'll hear.
That's why they come to me.
Yeah.
You love what you do, I can tell.
Yeah.
Both of you. I mean, I'm just totally impressed. You're going to be my mentor for sure. You know, everybody has to have somebody to look up to that's where they want to be or go towards.
Well, like I said, I had Elaine. You know, 10 years ago, it was Elaine who kicked my butt and said, it's time. And,
it's
you know,
time.
When I had my little moments, you know, she was there for me. So, you know, people will come into your life, sweetheart. And as she mentioned, I lived in Austin. She lived in Austin. We didn't know each other. It wasn't until I moved back into New York through a friend in Austin that we connected. And, you know, people will be brought to you, the right people will be brought to you when your time is right. And do feel free to call us. We'll work with you.
Please.
You know, this is what we do. We want to help people to fulfill their dreams, whatever that dream is. It's your dream, honey.
You know,
your dream.
Get your practice going and get your website up, and you'll just have to be a guest on my show.
Well, I'll be calling you soon, and we will talk about this more extensively, okay? But thank you both for now.
Before you go, Kat, tell her how to listen to your blog show.
Okay.
Yeah, what you do is you go to my website, which is katsangeleyes.com, and just go to the radio page, and all the information is there. Join my mailing list, sweetie, and then I will automatically send you reminders. I will be having a show in 2 weeks on a Sunday night at 9 New York time. You're welcome to call in. You're welcome to listen. We have nice topics, interesting topics of this nature, of metaphysical nature, and also just everyday life, because as you can see, I'm very down-to-earth, very practical.
Oh, you're awesome. You said that was
you.
K-A-A-T-S?
No, 1-A. 1-A. K-A-T, like in Thomas.
Uh-huh.
S. Cats.
S.
Cats. Angel.
Uh-huh.
Eyes.
So that's K-A-T-S, angel eyes.
Only
right,
one
all one
A.
Word. K-A-T. Yeah, cat, like, just like a pussy cat, but with a cat.
Yeah, it's like a pussy cat.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to do that. Thank you so much. You were great.
Oh, God bless you, honey. Take
God
care.
God bless you,
well.
Ladies, too. Talk
Take
to you
care,
soon.
Sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Thank
okay,
you for
bye-bye.
Calling in. And before Seth whispers sweet nothings in my ear, I'm going to have to say goodnight.
Well, thank you again, Elaine, for inviting me. It's always, always a pleasure.
I wish we had another hour. We didn't get to all of my questions. I hope people learned a little bit about what it's like to be a psychic on the business end, because it isn't easy to do both for the public. And
well, Elaine, in a nutshell, treat it like a business.
Treat it like a business.
And I mean, just treat it like a business.
Yeah, and tithe when you can, so to speak. Share when you can. And
yes,
I
absolutely.
I find that people end up calling, people that call on the phone, and I'm just here, I am giving this to the world. They say, well, I only have one question. And they do this one question, and then an hour later you're off the phone.
It's true.
You know,
I only have one question. Because, you know, life is not comprised of yes or no.
No, it isn't.
Mm-mm.
No, it isn't. What a profound, simple statement. Thank you, Kat, very much for being with us again this evening. Thank you, world, for listening. We appreciate you. And as always, don't forget to share a smile with somebody this week. Good night, everybody. Be safe.
Good night, Elaine. Thank you.
Good night.